hardly a surprise, this next headline. And yet about as sad a story as you could hear on a weekend in which more than 90 people were murdered by an anti-Muslim zealot, as was the case in Norway. In her apartment in London, pop singer Amy Winehouse was found dead on Saturday. Here she is speaking about death in January of last year.
My greatest fear is probably dying with no one knowing of any contribution I'd ever made to creative music. But that's cool because I made an album already that I'm so proud of that, you know, if I died tomorrow, touch wood, you know, I would still feel fulfilled in a way.
It's cool is not how you would describe this video. You can go online and see for yourself how bad Winehouse looked a month ago at a recent concert in Belgrade where she was booed off the stage. To see this video this morning on the London Daily Telegraph website, you have to sit through a commercial for Friendly's new taste of summer menu. Serving up happiness, the ad says, one scoop at a time.
They tried to make me go to rehab, I said no, no, no.
That the pop culture machine would make money selling scoops of happiness by allowing us all to see an artist's misery play out on stage is not something that began with Amy Winehouse. She seemed to get the joke, though, in this, her most famous track from her album Back to Black that catapulted her to international stardom. But hers was a small body of work, and it was the voice, not the narrative, that stopped people in their tracks.
He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day, but I'm grown, and in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own.
Amy Winehouse, gone at age 27. The specifics remain for the coroner to deliver. But Winehouse, who seemed to single-handedly be able to resurrect soul music in her small tattooed frame, joins a pantheon of 27s. Jimi Hendrix, who stopped rock and roll in its tracks all by himself a generation ago. Or Jim Morrison.
Try to set the night on.
Or Kurt Cobain of Nirvana, who created a style, a genre, and a movement, and then died with it. But the voice that cries out to me in the sadness surrounding Amy Winehouse most of all is this voice. Janis Joplin, a talent so large, a voice so outsized, and the loneliness that came with it. A belief in invulnerability or a feeling of vulnerability so strong only drugs can dull it? What happened to all of these artists? That most wholesome and brilliant of radical songwriters, Billy Bragg, tweeted this over the weekend. It's not age that Hendrix, Joplin, Morrison, Cobain, and Amy have in common, he wrote. It's drug abuse, sadly. Is it as simple as that? Oh, so sad. Joining us now is Eric Segalstad, author of The 27s, The Greatest Myth of Rock and Roll. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, John.
So is it as simple as Billy Bragg would have us believe? It was just drug abuse. There's nothing else in common between these artists. And he added Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones.
Well, I think that he might be partly right. But I think in the greater pantheon of all these musicians who all died at the age of 27, that is not the case for all of them. I think if anything that they have in common is the fact that they're all they all represent different artistic beings, if you will, and they all fit into the larger picture of rock and roll history.
And with huge, huge talents. You know, this isn't confined to rock and roll, this mythology about a sort of death year or a death moment. I recall that Beethoven, who died in the middle of his Ninth Symphony, cursed composers thereafter who always believed that you could only write nine, or that if you wrote nine, you somehow were, toying with death. There's a whole mystique about the 27 Club that Amy Winehouse herself actually referenced. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's really interesting. I mean, that's something that we talked about in the book as well, is how the ninth was the most difficult thing for any composer following in Beethoven's footsteps. And here, clearly, it's undeniable that the pattern of the age of 27 is something that's now firmly ingrained, not only within the minds of musicians and aspiring musicians, but also in the greater population at large as well. You see it, you know, especially considering that the outpouring of media frenzy that has come in the wake of Amy's death.
And do we play into that as pop culture consumers? Are we happy to watch the misery of artists play out on stage and wonder, oh, is this the next Jim Morrison? Is this the next Janis Joplin?
Yeah, I think that's it's not a new thought, I think. I mean, we've always been fascinated with gore and fame and tragedy. And, I mean, it goes back to the Greek myths. And, I mean, you used the word pantheon in the introduction here, and that's a word that we use as well in the book. And it's really interesting, especially when you consider someone like Janis Joplin, who is, you know, not very unlike Amy in a way that, sure, there was the addiction and sure there was the incredible talent, but also the fact that, you know, she was really known for hitting the bottle really hard. One of the quotes that we used in our book is, and this is by Janis, she told her biographer back in 69 or 70 that people, whether they know it or not, like the blues singers miserable. Maybe my audience can enjoy my music more if they think I'm destroying myself. Now, when we wrote this, this was in, you know, 2008 or so, and, you know, Amy Winehouse was probably about 24 years old, and already then we saw that this could be true for her as well. So we added Cue Amy Winehouse, even though we had no idea that 3 years later, unfortunately, you know, this whole tragedy struck her as well.
No idea, Eric Siegelstad? What were your thoughts when you heard the first report?
I mean, it was unbelievable, but at the same time, it was, in a way, unavoidable. I mean, imagine, you know, if you have friends in your life that are having problems, deep, deep, disturbing problems and struggling with addiction, chances are you will not try to beat them down as they're struggling with their addiction. You will try to build them up and try to help them. Now, you know, if you look at any time that news about her has come to be over the last few years, it's always been because she had some slip-up and someone happened to be there with her iPhone.
No kidding. And that's what drives the narrative. Eric Siegelstad, author of The 27s, The Greatest Myth of Rock and Roll. Amy Winehouse adds her name to that myth, dead at age 27 over the weekend.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.